Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. After all the rishis and others had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although the king had already decided to fast until death on the bank of the Ganges, he humbly expressed his decision to elicit the opinions of the great authorities present there. Any decision, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the matter perfect. This means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days were not irresponsible dictators. They scrupulously followed the authoritative decisions of saints and sages in terms of Vedic injunctions. Maharaj Parikshit, as a perfect king, followed the principles by consulting the authorities even up to the last days of his life. Besides some prayers glorifying Bhagavatam, then I'll speak something. Sarva stapti puyusa sarva vivekta sat parlay sarva siddhanta ratne sarva lokiyeta drik pade sarva bhagavati prana simad bhagavata prabho kali dvijato patyasi krishna pravetite pramatanda pramanda patya prema vasya akshayate Sarvada sarva sevaya si krishnaya namostute madeka bandhu mad sangit mad guru mad mahadana mad nastaka mad bhagya mad ananda namostute asto saduta dinya achitta chartaka He na ma muncha kanchit ma prema kita katayo spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, one who are enriched with jewels of all spiritual conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life, O breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun who has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my dear, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the fallen, please do not even leave me. Please become manifest from my heart and throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami's prayers on Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Hari Bol. So concerning what Prabhupada mentions on even great saints and sages and kings to consult the authorities before they used to do anything. There was a pastime with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He was famous for chanting 192 rounds every day. So one brahmachari, he wanted to get the mercy of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So he went to him and he tried to touch his feet or something. Something happened. Or he get some instructions, whatever. But Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj didn't give him the mercy like that. He told him, you work under your temple authorities. When Krishna is pleased, he will reveal himself to you. So even someone on the high platform like that, he guided that devotee in that way, that you do, you approach Krishna in this way. So he didn't even, he respected this line of what's given in the purport here, same point. And Narottam Das Thakur, he says the same point. He says, avoid jnanis, tagis, yogis and mixed devotees. So when we follow line of proper authority, guru, sadhu, sastra, or the line of how Prabhupada is given in ISKCON, how things should be run, then in this way we actually in getting Krishna's mercy. In the fourth chapter, text 16, like that, Prabhupada elaborates on this point, saying that the intricacies of following spiritual practices or religious life is very difficult to understand. And that can be understood if we follow the line of authority. In this way we'll get Krishna's mercy also. Krishna's mercy will flow in that way. So from this one thing we can learn is that when we speak about Krishna, Krishna is never alone. He's with his devotees. Devotees are like Krishna's family members. So in that sense, Krishna is never separate from the devotees. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada mentions how Krishna is not different from his name. He gives the example of, you chant any name like mango, mango, water, water, you won't satisfy your thirst, you won't get a taste of mango. But the holy name will fully satisfy you. And for the less intelligent who cannot understand the Vedas or get into the Mahabharata is written for them to understand stories. From even Srimad Bhagavatam, stories are there. So even these stories are not different from Krishna. In this way, they'll absorb the person in terms of bringing them to the higher platform of pure devotional service. So we can see how fasting for spiritual purpose is we have these festival days, you know, where we do fasting and like this. So we're getting a glimpse of what Maharaj Pariksit did in 7 days. We're getting a glimpse of what he did. He says there's 3 levels of perfection one can achieve by Mahaprasthan, what the Pandavas did after Krishna left the world. They just walked and walked to the Himalayas and they left their bodies. The other one is like Maharaj Pariksit, he just read Bhagavatam and fasted. In this way, he left his body. And the third way is where you submerge yourself to the Ganga to the neck. In India, this was a common thing where old person was going to leave his body, so they would take him to the Ganga. The family would take him, and he would think of Krishna, and this way leave his body. But this is in Jiva Dharma. It explains this is for advanced devotees. It's not for normal people. So from this we can, from Maharaj Pariksit's example, one of his attributes was that he was a deep thinker. He was, this is one of the signs of an advanced devotee, that he's a deep thinker. He doesn't just do things for the sake of doing it. He does it with deep thinking, with deep understanding why he's doing it. So, So even when Maharaj Parikshit went to the where the queens were going in Dwarka to Vrindavan to hear from Uddhava Krishna's pastimes, Maharaj Parikshit also went there. But then he was advised by Sandanya Muni that your time is not come yet. You should rule the world now, and you'll get the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam later on. Because Maharaj Parikshit, within his, when he was in the womb, he actually saw Krishna saving him from the Brahmastra. And he was looking for that person all the time. He was looking for that person. So when he saw the queens going to Vrindavan, but then at the same time he followed the line of authority. Sandhya Muni told him, and then he just went and did his duty as a king. And so from that, from this we can see one thing, how a devotee, he sees everything as Krishna's mercy. He knows that ultimately Krishna is protecting him. So Maharaj Parikshit, he was a Mahabhagavata, so he had that vision how ultimately everything is by Krishna's plan. So he did his duty within his time when he was ruling the world, of stopping the age of Kali coming in, chastising the age of Kali. And because he was a very serious person in his Krishna conscious practice, Krishna sent someone like Sukadeva Goswami to guide him on the way of achieving perfection. So there's a few points here. Prabhupada says, there's one letter Prabhupada wrote to someone, I think one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada's writing this letter to one of his disciples, and he's saying that we should be, if we are serious in our Krishna consciousness, Krishna will guide us within the heart. He'll give us intelligence what to do. But within our Krishna consciousness, we should be cautious. We have to be cautious. We should not be callous. Because Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge. And any time you may slip, something may happen. So we can see how Maharaj Parikshit also followed his example. He followed proper line of authority, and did things with blessings. And in this way, he was achieved perfection. So so what Maharaj Parikshit achieved 5,000 years back by the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami, so the same benefit we are also getting in the Krishna conscious movement. We are also following the same line what he had the chance to follow. Like he had the opportunity to get the blessings of all the great sages who came there, and Sukadeva Goswami appeared. So we have the same opportunity also within our time. Like Prabhupada has come, he's written all the books, established the temples, he's given his writings in his letters, and by his own example he showed how to surrender to Krishna. So the same opportunity we are getting, what Maharaj Parikshit got as well. So practicing Krishna consciousness is a scientific process, has to be done under training of proper authorities. And just like the example Prabhupada gives is, one cannot be a doctor just by reading books. One has to go to medical college, get trained, they get approved by 3 doctors. So same thing in Krishna consciousness, same thing applies. How this process is scientific, how if by following it, advancement is there. And Srila Prabhupada, he made another point in one of his lectures saying that to be a judge, it takes a long, long time to get training. But Krishna consciousness is such that you're given the position of like a judge. And by practicing, you're given that position like a judge, and all the knowledge gets revealed to you. So we can see how in this way, Krishna consciousness is considered like there's no loss in one practicing it. Whereas in the material world, if you lose anything in your studies or anything, you lose on everything. So we can see from this how Krishna consciousness is the real nature of the soul, is the real nature of the living entity, to be in its perfect situation. Whereas in the material world, everything is incomplete. There is no true happiness. And we can see how examples of even rich people, they commit suicide, break up families, but we can see in Krishna consciousness there's harmony, there's perfect harmony because Krishna is the center. There's a few points I'll quote about my pursuit. So I think Maharaj Parikshit wasn't that old when he left his body. He was quite young. So from his example, he's also showing us that we should be ready to leave our bodies any time. We should go by what Krishna wants and just accept it. And that's what Maharaj Parikshit taught for by his own example, that we shouldn't be... we should go by Krishna's plan. So there's a quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, Krishna creates, he maintains, and he destroys. But anyone who chants the holy name will never be destroyed. So from this we can... if we are taking to the chanting of holy name seriously... we should not fear the future, because it says in the material world is past, present and future. But Krishna always lives in the present. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an honest statement saying that don't worry about the past nor the future that comes. Within life, live within the times within, and progress that shall come. The same point, that we should live in the present, don't live in the past or the future. So it says Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they've come to destroy five kinds of ignorances of the living entities. And one is to identify with the body. Two is to think that sense gratification is the end of enjoyment. Three is lamentation. Four is material identification. And five is to think there is something higher than the absolute truth. So so it's the same teachings what Lord Chaitanya is giving in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving in Chaitanya Charitamrita in terms of he's just making it easier to follow by Lord Chaitanya's example through his leelas. He's showing us the perfection of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like the example is given of Sivas Thakur when his son passed away. Sivas Thakur told the woman not to cry because Lord Chaitanya was having his kirtan at night time. So he told the woman not to cry or lament. And he said, if you do that, I'll drown myself in the Ganges. So the point was made that we should do what's pleasing to Krishna. So the kirtan went on all night. And then when Lord Chaitanya, he could see something was not correct, so he asked. And then they told him that Sivas Thakur's son passed away. So Lord Chaitanya, he brought the son back brought the soul back into the body. At the son's side, he's saying to Lord Chaitanya that you brought me into this world. Now, by your will, I'm going to another place now. Nothing happens without your sanction. So same point is given in Lord Chaitanya is teaching us the same point in his pastime to show how we should not be too much disturbed over the body. And Prabhupada told Mr. Sethi the same point. Mr. Sethi, when his body became paralyzed at some point, his body was not so well. This is Lokanath Maharaj's biography, which he gives. So Prabhupada asked him, did you have any desires within your heart to serve Krishna? Because the doctor told Dr. Sethi that unless you put these belts around your body and do certain things, you'll die very quickly. So Prabhupada explained to Mr. Sethi that death is just another change of body. Nothing is like you're changing new clothes every day. It's not a big thing. Then Prabhupada asked Mr. Sethi, did you have any desires to serve Krishna? Did you make any vows to serve Krishna in the past? And Mr. Sethi said, yes, I had a desire to do something for Krishna, but I could not get it done because I got involved in the construction building business. I couldn't get that desire fulfilled. So then Prabhupada said, okay, now, because in those times when the Juhu temple was being built, the very difficult times because snakes were there, rats were there, mosquitoes were there, and the Western devotees were not used to living in these conditions. So Prabhupada told Mr. Sethi to build a house for the devotees so they can live in that house. And when he did that, his health got better. And when he did that service, he recovered very quickly. And he followed Prabhupada's instructions by saying, you know, don't wear these belts and these kind of things. Depend on Krishna. So we can see from this example that if we just do this, the best thing for serving Krishna, then everything will work out for the best for us. Thank you. So there's a quote, this on Prabhupada lectures actually, or something, yeah. What is one's duty at the time of death? So, in his purport to Jai Shishirar Gokulanda Sitarama Swami Gonitai Ki Jai, in his purport to the 17th mantra of the Isho Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada gives the following explanation. Maharaj's main question was, what is the duty of every man, specifically at the time of death? Sukadev Goswami answered, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara Hari Sarvatra Ketabhatyascha Smatavya Chachacha Bhayam. Everyone who desires to be free from all anxiety should always hear about, glorify and remember the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme director of everything, the extinguisher of all difficulties, the supersoul of all living entities. So-called human society generally engaged at night in sleeping and having sex during the daytime, in earning as much money as possible or else in shopping for family maintenance. People have very little time to talk about the personality of Godhead or to inquire about Him. They have dismissed God's existence in so many ways, primarily by declaring Him to be impersonal, that is, without sense perception. But in the Vedic literature, whether the Upanishads, Bhagavad Sutra, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, it is declared that the Lord is a sentient being and is a supreme over all other living entities. His glorious activities are identical with Himself. One should therefore not indulge in hearing and speaking of the rubbish activities of worldly politicians and so-called big men in society, but should mold his life in such a way that he can engage in godly activities without wasting a second. Sri Upanishad directs us towards such godly activities. Unless one is accustomed to devotional practice, what will he remember at the time of death? When the body is discolorated, and how can he pray to the Almighty Lord to remember his sacrifices? Sacrifice means denying the interest of the senses. One has to learn this art by employing the senses in the service of the Lord during one's lifetime. One can utilize the results of such practice at the time of death. Etabhya sukya yogyabhyam swadharma paritasthaya janma labhra para pumsam anta narana smiti. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter, spirit, or by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect knowledge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of God at the end of life. So there's a Srila Prabhupada on death, something Prabhupada speaks here. This is a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada in Delhi, November 3rd, 1973. Therefore he cannot be immortal, and Bhagavad Gita purposes that is wonderful thing. If you can stop death, and the whole spiritual life means to how to stop death. That is the Bhagavata's instruction. Don't accept Guru, don't accept Father, don't accept, or don't be a father, don't be a mother, don't be if you cannot stop death. Either you don't accept or you don't become, just like they want Guru. So don't accept a Guru who cannot stop your death. And from the Guru's side, it is advised, don't become a Guru if you cannot stop the death of your disciples. This is Bhagavatam's statement. Our Krishna conscious movement is to stop death. Live eternally with Krishna. So go back home, back to Godhead. This is our movement. So our Guru gives us this opportunity. No more death, Taktva. After leaving this body, you don't accept any more material body.
And if you don't accept material body, then there is no death. As soon as you are spiritual, you remain in spiritual body. There is no death. There is no death also. Death is a commitment where birth is there. If death is stopped, then there is no birth. And if there is no birth, then there is no disease, there is no old age. This is the purpose of birth, death, old age, disease can be stopped only by Krishna consciousness. If you don't like to be Krishna conscious, then what is the use of becoming your disciple? And if the guru cannot stop your death, birth and death, then what is your becoming guru? Yehi nahi bacha yete purusha purusha sabha sama dukkha sukha dadi ram namitya kapate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for a wonderful class. I just wondered if you could expand a little bit more on what you've just read, like don't accept the guru, don't be a mother, don't be a father, if they can't save you from that. I'm just trying to understand that a little bit better.
The Prabhupada said we should not accept guru as a pet dog. Some people just want a guru just like a pet dog, you know. The purpose of human life is to achieve perfection, and if you can't save someone from the cycle of birth and death, don't take responsibility. This is the point, because the human form of life is achieved after 8,400,000 species. So in the human form of life, you can go back to Godhead very quickly. If one gets entangled in the material world, chances are that he may have to face karmic karmic reactions. And there's a quote here by Prabhupada actually, which says, "Men and women are the cause of death for each other." So there's a quote here, but Prabhupada explains this point. The woman created by Lord is a representation of Maya, and one who associates with such Maya by accepting services must certainly know that this is the way of death, just like a blind well covered by grass. Srila Prabhupada explains this in his purport. Sometimes it happens that a rejected well is covered by grass, and an unworthy traveler who does not know of his existence of the well falls down and his death is assured. Similarly, association with men begins with one accepts services from her. Because women are especially created by the Lord to give service to men, by accepting her service, a man is entrapped. If he is not intelligent enough to know that she is a gateway to hellish life, he may be indulged in her association very liberally. This is restricted for those who aspire to ascend to the transcendental platform. Even 50 years ago, in Hindu society, such association was restricted. A wife should not see her husband during the daytime. Householders even had different residential quarters. The internal quarters of a residential house were for the women, and the external quarters were for the men. Acceptance of service rendered by women may appear very pleasing, but one should be very cautious in accepting such service, because it is clearly said that woman is a gateway to hell, to death for the forgiveness of one's life. She blocks the path of spiritual realization. So, same applies to the man actually. Sometimes it could happen, like you could see Sometimes a woman can be very more advanced than a man, can work both ways. But the point is, we should be eager to take association of those who are advanced in spiritual life. And our goal should be to become self-realized. So if we cannot make others in, help others to become self-realized, we should not take responsibility of them. And this is also the duty of us. The spiritual master is also strict like that, that if he takes a disciple, he makes sure that the disciple is following properly. Because there's a quote by Prabhupada where he says, the spiritual master cannot go back to good. He cannot achieve perfection. He cannot come out of the material world until the point where he's delivered all his disciples. So it's a big responsibility. So it's not a cheap thing to take responsibility for others. Because otherwise you get entangled in karmic reactions.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to ask another point, which is, it says Prabhupada says in his teachings there that if we accept, so if we become a father or if we become a mother, that means that we're prevented from death. Is that right? As in, like, if we take a husband or a wife, we can't avoid death?
No, the thing is, if the aim of life is to become self-realized. So if that's your aim, and you're praying to Krishna to help you to become self-realized, then Krishna will send the appropriate people to help you in your path. Appropriate devotees will come to help you. Like, there was a story concerning Lord Jagannath. This happened in Mayapur, actually. It's in the book. There was one devotee. This was a young girl. She wasn't from a rich family. But she prayed to Lord Jagannath that if you send me someone to look after me, then I will do service for you. So she got married to a rich devotee. And then, after getting married to the rich devotee, the husband said, okay, now you can serve Lord Jagannath. So in that sense, we can see how Krishna looks after us if we are praying to Him with sincerity. Any other comments or questions on this side?
As when you gave this example, if we chant water, 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 our test won't get fulfilled. And okay, that's a good point, but if I'm thirsty, I still need water. And advanced devotees, like we have the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they would be so absorbed in their bhajan and their taste for the holy name is so deep and so great that they would completely forget about eating or sleeping, all these things. So in that level, yes, chanting the holy name fulfills our thirst, our anger, hungriness, and so on. But in this conditioned level, we still need these other mantras like water, water, water. I don't know, for everyone. So my question is, how does the impure chanting of the holy name fulfill our material needs or our spiritual needs? How does that work in our conditioned level of consciousness? Because we still need the water, we still.
Well, the thing is, it's a matter of faith. It's not like you can stop chanting the holy name. You got the higher taste. It's just a matter of making your conviction strong over what the holy name is. That's what Prabhupada did in my books first. Then in time your conviction of who Krishna is will become strong. Ultimately, He's looking after you. Without this action, nothing can happen. It's just, the problem is, we maintain our material attachments. That's what blocks our vision. And the other thing is, in the line of pure devotional service, one has to be very careful in his in his practices, like you can see how Prabhupada, when he got donations, he would see where the donation is coming from. If it's not coming from a good place, he put in a deity box. Krishna can digest everything, but we can't. So in this way, Prabhupada will maintain his purity. And the other thing is, Prabhupada will only keep what he needed to keep. He wouldn't keep more than what he had to keep. So if we keep simple in our spiritual life, we don't accumulate too many things. And we eat to live, not live to eat. Then the purity will come in very quickly. I think Roman had a question.
Thank you for class, Prabhu. I just have a question about so when we make a decision and we contact Guru Sadhu Shastras, but then it might happen that we find Shastric evidence for both possible decisions. So then when we don't have a guru, we would contact the devotees. And what is it, we still get like different advice from them? What would your advice be for such a case?
Well, the thing is, there's a certain level of practice in Krishna consciousness. There's 64 items in the line of deity worship, right? And one of them is where you pray to Krishna before doing anything. Like you take Krishna's sanction before you do something, you know. Because ultimately Krishna is a guru for everyone. And even spiritual masters follow that line of teaching, that when they're not sure of something, they pray to the deities. So like that.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Anything else? Okay. I think it's okay.
If we don't pray in that certain way, if we don't pray in a certain way to the deities, it could be offensive. So could you elaborate? Is there a specific way to pray to the deities or to reveal one's mind to the deities?
Actually, these things should be learned from, if you know the method, you can teach it to others. But ultimately, Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsalya. He's the lover of his devotees. And Krishna knows what's in your mind. He knows what's best for you. Like, I wanted to give an example one time, how a person came in the temple one time. I think he was a woman or a man. And he was bewildered. He didn't know what to do. He was going to commit something wrong in his life happened. And I wanted to tell him, you just go back and things will work out. Don't worry. Just pray to the deities. And everything will work out. Then sometime later this woman came, and I wanted to know nothing about it. And the woman, she said, you know who I am? I'm that person you instructed me what to do. Now I have a child. Then initially he was bewildered what to do. He was going to commit suicide or something negative. But I wanted to came out and told her what to do. She said, pray for the deities. Things will work out for you. But what you say is correct. I mean, that's also there. But we have to learn it, how to do that. Prabhupada said in his quotation that even after initiation, one should not think one is perfect. Initiation is just the beginning. So we have to discuss these things what you just mentioned, how to learn this procedure. But on the whole, Krishna is known as your best friend. He's your well-wisher. So when you're not in proper understanding, you just pray to the deities. And Krishna will reveal it to you what you need to know.
Thank you.
Antara Chimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.